This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
Straight here in the Midsummer Classic. The most stuffiest, can I say that? Emmanuel Classe. It was pretty impressive what he delivered at the end to close it out.
Well, I think as stuffiest, I think of he should take Sudafed or Claritin or something. But no question, 100 miles an hour, cutting action with location.
You're listening to the Adam Gold Show on the North Carolina Sports Network.
Welcome to the Adam Gold Show. We are out. They let us out of the studio. We're at ACC football kickoff. We're in Charlotte, North Carolina, in the promenade of the Westin Hotel. Is the Westin right? I get this right? We're at the Westin.
Yeah, we're at the Westin.
Dennis Cox, they let both of us out of the studio.
They let me out early, but apparently yes. I set off a fire alarm yesterday.
That's right. You called in. What burned?
I think Jim Phillips.
Look, there are two annual rites of passage here. One, everybody's going to make fun of the commissioner at the commissioner's forum.
Sure.
Because the commissioner is going to do things that kind of deflect from certain obvious problems between the revenue gap between the ACC and the two big schools, the two big leagues, the Big Ten and the SEC. And then because he is an old school guy like just about all the other commissioners. And they're going to make fun of the Olympic sports and the academics. It's what we do.
Yeah.
This is what we do here. Like, I didn't have any problem with what Jim Phillips had to say. Some of it was very predictable. We're actually going to talk to Jim Phillips on the program tomorrow. And I am looking forward to maybe peeling back some of the things that he discussed, and we're going to get to it in a second. There's actually this is sort of a day where, I mean, I'm glad we're here. There's an energy in the building, which is really cool when you see some people that we watch on TV, and, the ACC network setup is right here. You're looking at me. It's from sort of like behind you to the left. And so there's an energy about this because the football season is pretty close. And it's NC State Day. Dave Doran and Devin Leary are both going to stop by. And you could tell that they're excited for the start of the season. I think everybody's excited for the start of the season. But there's also some other things that are really cool to talk about that we're just going to have to figure out a way to fit in today. Like, I thought Major League Baseball's All-Star game last night was just fun, even though the game might not have been great. The 3-2 final, all the runs were scored in one inning for each team, so we had 8 at-bats for each side that were useless. It just did nothing. But for the most part, it's been a really, really – it was a fun watch, and we'll get to that a little bit later on. But right now, we got things to do. And Dave Doran's at the bottom of the hour, so let's start the proceedings. So the commissioner of the ACC gave his State of the ACC address today, and according to Jim Phillips, the state of our union is in search of healthy communities for all, not just the two or three gated communities. Real quick, before we hear from Jim Phillips. Talking about gated communities, am I the only one who was a little uneasy about that? Like, I don't know. Gated communities is keeping people out. It's not inclusive.
Yeah.
I think we should want to not... Like, I don't want to live in a gated community.
No.
Well, like, I'd like to afford to live in a gated community without living in a gated community. I don't need to keep the riffraff out. I am the riffraff. Mm-hmm. So I was a little... It just made me feel
it was
some type of
interesting analogy when he used that. It's like, yeah, we're gonna, we understand that we live in a very privileged spot, basically.
Okay. You know what? Call it the penthouse.
Sure.
Call it the penthouse.
Yeah.
Although
people live on a different floor. That's
the
all.
The elevator goes right to the penthouse, so they don't have to be, with the unwashed. Anyway, for Jim Phillips, it was time to look out for the greater good. Here's what he's talking about.
We'll also strongly advocate for college athletics to be a healthy neighborhood, not a two or three gated communities. Resources may be different, but access, education, and competitive opportunity will remain the foundation going forward.
All right, let's get to that part, because Jim Phillips spent a lot of time talking about a lot of important things in college athletics. He spent a lot of time talking about the ideals and academics and experience for the student athlete, which I know, I hope you're like me every time you hear the term student athlete. I think it's just at this point, it's baked in. It's unfair. They're athletes or they're students. We don't need to call them student athletes. It's almost a derogatory term. Anyway, but he talked about Olympic sports. But the reality is that in today's world of Fortune 500 college sports, none of that matters. I mean, it matters. But to the bottom line, it doesn't really matter. But to his credit, Phillips didn't shy away from the revenue problem. And he said that everything is on the table. Here's Phillips on that.
How concerned are you that the growing revenue chasm could kind of turn the Power 5 into a Power 2 with the Big Ten and the SEC way ahead revenue-wise of the ACC? And is expansion the only real solution to cutting that down?
I don't know that it's the only solution. I think you have to look creatively. We've been doing that over the last year. We're going to continue to do that. All neighborhoods need to be healthy. It's not good for college athletics if we're not. And again, you heard my reference earlier. We understand where those two leagues are. No one's ignoring that. And we're all trying to find ways to close that gap.
All right. Yes, we did get another all neighborhoods need to be healthy. Good for, I think that was one of three, or we have actually now two of three references to healthy communities throughout. Rising tide lifts all boats type of a deal. But he did allude to the fact that everything is on the table. And expansion isn't the only way to improve the finances of the league. He even addressed the potential for an uneven distribution of money. And that is something that probably should be on the table. Now, in a perfect world, there would be so much money coming in that nobody's going to get bent out of shape if it's all shared evenly. But when some of your schools, like a Clemson, is so far out in front football-wise, in terms of consistency and all of that, that maybe they deserve a little carrot here and there, you know, an extra couple of million dollars off the top before revenue is distributed. You know, it wouldn't impact so much. Like if Clemson ended up, if the ACC pulled in, and what did I see? Was $528 million in shared revenue the last fiscal year based on tax filings, I think I read yesterday. So if you skimmed $10 million off the top of that and stuck it in Clemson's jacket pocket, once you spread it around the league, man, I'm not saying it's inconsequential, but I think we could all understand. Right? I'm not saying that's the way they're going to go, but it is an option. By the way, expansion has to pay for itself. Otherwise, there's no reason to do it. And I don't know that there's anybody out there that will pay for itself. Either way, I mean, Notre Dame would, obviously, and we'll get to that. He also said that he believes strongly that if Notre Dame is ever going to join a league, it will be the ACC. Jim Phillips said that today. He also said something else that was really interesting to me, that their relationship with ESPN is critical. So I will ask this question, and we'll ask it throughout the day to certain people. What is ESPN's incentive to have a strong, vibrant, viable ACC. I think it's pretty important. I think.
Duke, Carolina.
Right, in basketball. But yeah, look, you're also clearing football revenue.
Yes, you are.
So isn't it important, right, to mm-hmm. have a vibrant, a viable ACC? And the answer is yes. I read this yesterday, and look, I don't know that it's ever going to happen because there's no real, I guess, real precedent to simply renegotiate a contract that has 13 years left on it. But I'll just say that maybe ESPN comes back to the bargaining table and sweetens the pot a little bit. Just saying. Maybe they do. We'll see how that works out, but it's certainly in ESPN's best interest to have a good ACC. And now here's Jim Phillips on, I don't know if this specifically mentions grant of rights, but we'll get to that in a sec. Phillips on the conference as a whole being together.
I know where our 17, you know, or our 15
what?
Schools are. We are really aligned to try to find some solutions to that revenue gap. But it can't be at the expense of all the other things that we're doing. And so there's a really good plan for us as we move ahead. Again, considering all of our options. And in these kinds of times, you have to do that. This is unique, what's happened over the last 12 months.
All right, I'm just going to stare right into the camera. Did he say 17? Did Jim Phillips say 17? So
yeah, you heard it here first.
What?
You heard it here first, 17.
I counted them up. Even if we add Notre Dame, I only get to 15.
Yeah.
What is that telling us? Is this like LIV Golf? So we mm-hmm. have two team logos in silhouettes coming soon? I don't know. he said it was a slip. Just yeah. a slip.
Because, yeah, someone followed up and asked him. It was like, hey,
wait a second.
That? He's like, sorry.
Wait a second.
Mistaken expansion.
So, look, he talked about grant of rights, and he used a great analogy for grant of rights. Not an analogy, but an example mm-hmm. why he thinks grant of rights will hold. He said Texas and Oklahoma made the move to the SEC last year. They're not leaving until after the 2025 season.
Yeah, that's when their grant of rights
ends. That's when
ends.
Their grant of rights ends. I mean, what's better for them, to play in a league as lame ducks or to start getting SEC money now? The problem is they can't do it.
Yep.
So it does seem to be a pretty solid legal stance. And if that's what holds the ACC together, then there's not a lot of worry, I guess. But you never know, man. You know what's undefeated? Billable hours. Undefeated. If you're watching on video, you see that Ryan Murphy from WRAL, sports investigative reporter, has sat down with us. Are you immersed in grant of rights? Have you really dug into that?
I have. I've read the document as much as okay. I could. I knew I should have gone to law school.
Well, we all should have gone to law school.
who are the two
we
teams?
We would have all been doing better right now.
Who are teams 16 and 17? That's what I want to know.
I actually thought that it was Henrik Stenson and Cameron Smith that have decided not to go to LIV but will play all sports in the ACC. That would be great if Jim Phillips, I'm going to talk to him later, if he will tell me who the 16th and 17th schools are. Because that was a great faux pas. All right, so there's a couple of things. Let's start, because I know he mentioned headquarters is very difficult. There's three cities, two states. We can't have a two-state solution. It's Orlando or Charlotte or Greensboro.
Right.
But he's like 2.5 months ago, he said we'd have a decision in a month. And today he said, I don't know, within 3 or 4 months, we'll have a decision. What's going on?
Yeah, he said the next month or two. He said they haven't even presented the proposals to the presidents yet, to the 15 presidents. I have to imagine they were waiting for North Carolina's budget to pass.
Right.
That includes $15 million in incentives, and waited for Governor Cooper to sign it. I imagine this realignment stuff may have kicked that can down the road a little bit on the headquarters. But it sounds like everything's buttoned up and ready to go, and these presentations are ready to be made at this point.
Well, let's get those presentations made. And look, I am of the mind. You tell me if I'm crazy. I am of the mind that it doesn't matter.
Yeah, who cares?
That's my... Literally, it could be a post office house.
I mean, multiple lawmakers have told me that they negotiated this incentive package. Multiple lawmakers are on the record saying the ACC is going to Charlotte. So why, you know, why is this process now dragged on for over a year? When it first happened, when it was first announced, everybody said, they're going to Charlotte.
Right.
And now lawmakers who have worked with the ACC on this incentive package say, they're going to Charlotte. Why this has to drag out for another month or two, I don't understand.
They holding out for more money?
At this point,
they can't now. Right. The budget's been signed.
Yeah, at this point, they're going to get what they're going to get from North Carolina. Will Florida come in with some big package? It doesn't make a ton of sense to me to move this thing to Florida. Look at the amount of media that's come to Charlotte.
Yeah.
Most of it drivable, certainly not for everybody, but many of these media members are here because they can easily get here. It seems like Charlotte is, you know, the heart of the ACC.
Yeah, the state of North Carolina is centrally located. We have schools in Syracuse and Boston and Pittsburgh and Miami. Yeah, it seems a little bit far-fetched to have, to move HQ. But I'm not even sure HQ would matter for this. Like, I don't think they would change these. Is there any indication, Brian Murphy from WRAL Sports Investigative Reporter, is there any indication that the location of headquarters has anything to do with, like, the basketball tournament being in Greensboro?
No. I mean, the SEC is in Hoover, Alabama. That's where the SEC's headquarters are. Why?
It's lovely.
Who knows? I imagine that retail office space is very cheap in Hoover, Alabama.
Right.
You know, this only became an issue in the Pac-12 when they bought the most expensive real estate they could in San Francisco.
San Francisco.
And now all of a sudden they said, hey, wait a second, let's go to Las Vegas. Land is cheaper. Everyone can work remote, do whatever they need to do.
Right.
I just don't think that your office matters all that much, where your headquarters are.
Everybody works online.
Yeah, I don't, which leads me to believe, why are they going through this whole process? Just keep it in Greensboro.
Or this is my suggestion. We buy this tricked out RV and Jim Phillips just drives around from school to school.
Have you seen gas prices these days?
We're going to get an electric RV.
I do understand Charlotte, right? It's an easier flight for all these people from Boston, all the places you just mentioned. They can all get to Charlotte much easier than they can get to Greensboro. Okay, great, done.
Now,
get some real estate, get it done, and just be done with it. It seems like Jim Phillips has way more important things to be dealing with than the headquarters.
So what else, other than HQ, which I think is the biggest non-story here? I mean, I don't want to disparage it, but I just don't see the reason to like gnash teeth over it. What are the things that struck you about what the commissioner had to say today that lead you to, all right, I'm going to follow up on this. This is where I'm headed.
Yeah, I already posted a little story at WRL.com, sports, WRLsportsfan.com, about the grant of rights. That to me was really interesting. He talked about how confident he was, and you mentioned it, that the grant of rights will hold. He also mentioned how confident he was that the 15 schools are going to stick together. Now, of course, that's what the Pac-12 commissioner would have said the day before USC and UCLA left. But he also talked about how confident he was that if Notre Dame joined the league, it would join the ACC.
Yeah.
I mean, once he finally got through his prepared remarks and took questions, Phillips did seem to be speaking from like a position of strength when it came to the grant of rights.
They were totally different sessions, weren't they?
Yeah. It seemed to be a very confident that at least through 2036.
Right.
And we can talk about it. I think at some point the cost and the time left, those lines will cross and we'll have a different conversation about grant of rights. But at least now with 14 years left on the grant of rights, the way Jim Phillips was talking, that to me was the most interesting part.
Yeah, that and also he mentioned a few times how deep and important their relationship was with ESPN. I want to peel that back in a second. But
Adam Gold in studio with my man, Coach Pete DeRuiter with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We are talking retirement. Coach, let's say I have more than $1 million balance in my 401k.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
How can that actually come back and bite me?
Well, because, and this is a thing that we it's a mirage. You see mirages. I've ridden in the desert before. You see what's water ahead, but it's not there. Well, your financial mirage is thinking that that total balance in your 401k or your IRA is yours. We have two people that want to get a hold of it, two uncles, Uncle North Carolina and Uncle Sam.
Right.
Both of them are going to do some damage to that balance, depending on what kind of other income you have. You could lose 40% of your value. So if you're looking at $1 million IRA, maybe it's only worth $600,000 to you. So how do we get around this? Well, you don't get around it because you end up in jail if you try to do that.
But
you can do tax planning to minimize the effect of taxation into the future. The tax train is coming, Adam. We need to make sure to minimize the effect of the derailment of our financial accounts. And for the next 10 people, we'll do it at no cost or obligation. Put together your very own tax and retirement plan.
800-661-7383 or text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuda. The example he used of Texas and Oklahoma not leaving early because grant of rights, and Southern Cal and UCLA not leaving early because grant of rights. If they are not doing that, then what it says is that the grant of rights is a strong legally binding agreement. And it is, I mean, the way it's written, like, we own you.
Right.
That's basically, they could have just said, we own you. So,
I mean, you're talking about a lengthy and costly battle with an uncertain outcome. So you're going to spend a lot of time and a lot of money, and you're not 100% sure what the outcome is going to be. I think Texas and Oklahoma looked at that and said, it's just not worth it.
Right.
It's not worth it.
Even to Texas, who has more money than anybody.
Because you could lose.
Yeah.
I mean, at the end, you could spend millions of dollars, probably a two-year process we're talking about, at least. And then at the end, you lose, and you're stuck in the same conference, and so you've just cost yourself time and money. And you know, athletic directors and school presidents aren't in the business of giving away time and money.
Yeah, the $120 million in an exit fee. Nobody wants to come up with that. Although I think you can pay that out over time. I mean, Maryland didn't give up. I think at that time it was $50 million. Maryland didn't pay that in one lump sum.
Right.
So plus there is the bank of the Big Ten. You can always borrow that from the Big Ten. But so nobody wants to come up with the $120 million exit fee. And then, like, now 10 years down the road.
Right.
If things have not improved, then I would be, that would be a concern for me. Today, could you, Clemson's not going to announce today that in 2036, we are making the move to the SEC.
Right. I mean, I think the Oklahoma-Texas timeline is instructive, right? They gave 2 years notice, or 3 years notice.
Yeah.
That's about the maximum amount of notice you're going to give. And so I think the ACC has time on its side, you know, because of the grant of rights.
Right.
It buys the league some stability. It buys it time. Now, what can Jim Phillips and everybody else here do in that with that time that they've bought? I talked to Phillips afterwards. He did a little session. And what I asked was, okay, say the ACC Network, and this gets to something else, but say the ACC Network gets on the air in Phoenix and Seattle and San Francisco. Does the ACC get that money, or do the schools that got it on those networks get the money? And what he told me is that it's the network that gets paid. So the ACC would get money.
Sure.
And this gets to one of the survival.
$90 million distribution now.
Right.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, this gets to one of the survival options for the ACC, and that is to partner with the Pac-12 in some way to put Pac-12 games on the ACC network and thus increase your distribution of the ACC network.
Right. Or, I mean, again, I'm not necessarily in favor of expansion, or a couple of teams from the West Coast.
Sure.
Which become,
I think the partnership works a little easier. Because you don't have to worry. I mean, the travel costs of associating all
only
that
it stops
stuff.
Becoming an ACC network at that point.
That's true, and that was my question. Like, if you're putting Pac-12 games on it, doesn't the Pac-12 get some of that money?
Yeah.
And Phillips seemed pretty clear to me. He said it depends on whose network it's on. It's on the ACC network. The ACC gets the money.
Well, that would be good. I would be curious as to which games would be on. Let me ask you one more thing, Brian Murphy, before I let you go. WRAL Sports Investigative Reporter. By the way, you changed your Twitter handle.
Well, I had a sports handle. This was Murph's at Murph's Turf was my sports handle. Then I started covering politics. Didn't want to alienate all those sports people.
Okay.
So I started a politics one. Now I'm back to the sports one.
I don't even know. We got I got two for you. The mentioning of ESPN. What are the odds that ESPN looks at the ACC and says, you know what, we need a viable ACC, and say, all right, let's talk about the deal. The length is the length. But let's talk about an increase in rights fee, or maybe allowing the ACC some of the games to send it out to another network that is willing to add to the pile of money.
Yeah, I mean, I think rather than Jim Phillips, I wanted the whoever's in charge of the ACC network
Jimmy
with
Pitara.
ESPN to be up there.
Yeah.
Because ESPN holds all the cards. They're the ones who get to decide if the ACC kind of lives or dies,
yep.
As sad as that is. But I was having this conversation with someone else. It's in ESPN's interest not to lose Notre Dame to the Big Ten. Then you can never air a Notre Dame game because that's Fox.
Right.
It's in ESPN's interest not to have Florida State and Clemson go to the SEC because then you're paying double to Clemson and Florida State for the same content you're getting right now. So I think ESPN – now, they could set a bad precedent by going into this contract and then somebody else comes to them and says, hey, what about us? So I think they're going to try to look for some creative ways to
sure.
get the ACC more money because you're right. The ESPN is in bed with the ACC. They own the ACC. It is not in ESPN's interest for the ACC to wither and die and live in the middle-class neighborhood
right.
that Jim Phillips kept talking about.
He wants the ACC in a gated community.
While the Big Ten and the SEC get even bigger mansions, that's not in ESPN's interest. So,
right.
you know, we can talk about Jim Phillips. Probably the most important person in the ACC is Jimmy Pitara and whoever runs ESPN and the ACC network.
Brian Murphy, which Twitter are we giving up?
At Murph's Turf.
At Murph's Turf. That's the one I used today. It's good. I'm glad you sat down. WRAL Sports Investigative Reporter. Yeah, there's a lot of things. I thought the commissioner's forum today was as interesting as it has been after we got through all of the we need healthy communities. Look, I'm all about.
And sponsoring women's gymnastics.
He didn't talk about First Start or Head Start. He didn't talk about after-school programs. There was no paternity leave. We didn't get to any of that. But that's for another time. It's your other gig. It's the politics side.
Right.
That's the politics side. But when we come back, Dave Doran is going to join us here at ACC football kickoff. This is the Adam Gold Show. Thanks to Brian Murphy from WRAL. And we'll be back with Dave Doran next.
Over the crossbar! And the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup!
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcast.
I don't see a target. On the back.
No.
Your team is the hunted
yeah.
this year. How does that change things?
Yeah, I think, you know, you're going to get people's best in this league. And, you know, obviously the notoriety changes just the demeanor of your locker room. Mm-hmm. You got to keep them grounded, you know, and you got to identify some of the pitfalls that come with complacency. And but it's good, you know. The guys are excited. They've earned some notoriety. They've earned some respect. And now we need to get on the grass and go play.
Has there been a different energy in the spring and into the summer with workouts and guys staying around and staying together?
You know, we had great energy the last 2 years, to be honest with you. It's different in that we're not under the radar, but it's not different in how the guys are in the building. Or I think there's a definite hunger. There's some, I don't know, I guess you'd say – chips on the shoulder from our bowl situation, and you know, we didn't win the league last year. We weren't in the championship mm-hmm. game. Like, we have a lot to prove still, and our guys know that, and that's what makes it fun. Like, they're not, hey, we were, you know, 10-3 or 9-3, however you want to look at the finish. We beat our rival. We beat, you know, Clemson. We, for the first time as a program, beat those two in UNC and Louisville in the same season. So many good things happened, but at the same time, like, our goal is to win it,
mm-hmm.
and we didn't do that. So there's just an energy about that.
What was your record last year?
If you ask me, we're 10-3.
Okay.
I mean, they handed us the bowl trophy in San Diego. Like, it counts if it's sitting in your house,
look,
you know.
Is it in your house? Is it on the mantle? Where is it?
No, when you walk in the Murphy Center, it's,
okay.
it's right there next to the, you know, the trophy we get for the Textile Bowl.
There's a mindset among the fan base and – maybe even too many people who have been covering the program for a long time, before you got here, that NC State is better when there aren't any expectations. How do we convince them that that mindset is kind of BS.
I don't know who them is, so I'm not.
Well, really, I don't want to mention all of them by name.
You know what I mean? You just got to go play good. You know, you got to go win games. And you know, since I've been here for most of my tenure, we've won a lot of games. We've had a couple bad years. I think it's just about going out and doing what you're supposed to do. Last year we did that. You know, it was the first time in 35 years they've been undefeated at home. Mm-hmm. You know, and so there's progress. You see these kids coming back because they want to prove something. That's what it's about. It's about going out and proving it.
You also have a lot of guys coming back who could have made other decisions.
Right.
So, and it's an older team. You've got some, even some six-year guys.
We do.
So, does that, did those guys take over at that point and you don't have to do as much, you know, managing day-to-day emotions and you're, because they're going to hold each other accountable?
Yeah, I think the one thing you can't replace as a coach is experience in your systems. You know, you just, you can go maybe recruit an older player, but he hasn't played on your team, you know. So that value is immeasurable, and I have a lot of experienced players. The key for us is getting them all on the field and keeping them all on the field at the same time. And,
right.
You know, for once, because I haven't had in the last 3 years really a season where we didn't have some severe injuries. We need a little bit of love and care from the Lord on this one. And, you know, it'd be nice to have that. Just, you know, give us one of those years where things go our way health-wise.
Yeah, look, there were so many guys who went down last year, and it always seems like you found somebody behind them.
We did.
That became a star. And I also think, and he's, maybe it's just because he's one of my favorite players to watch in the league, but Tanner Engel stayed on the field.
Yeah,
last year, and so and a lot of it was his own, like his own over exuberance. I'll just use that term. But when he stayed on the field, it just seemed like it made your defense better.
Yeah, Tanner's an elite football player. Mm-hmm. I mean, he sees things different than other people see him. His vision of what's going on, his ability to react, and obviously the way he hits people. You know, he's he's the Tasmanian devil, man. That's what he is. You know, I love watching Tanner play. And what's cool, you know, the coaches in our league, we've, a lot of us are friends, and the number of times some of them have come up to me and like, damn, I wish 10 would have left. They're sick of playing against him.
Sure.
Because of the, how he plays. And at the same time, they'll say, I love how he plays, you know. And mm-hmm. So, yeah, no question, old school guy that just has tremendous ability.
There may be other areas of your football team that you have some concerns about, but I'm curious about the offensive line, because the way I look at it, if your offensive line is good, there were so many guys who went down last year, and it always seems like
your offensive line,
you have to replace, obviously, that became a star.
That's hard to do.
And also, right.
You know, I mean, he's as good as there is in the country. I'm excited about the guys we have back, and I think Anthony Belton's going to be a really good football player for us. He was Icky's backup last year. We recruited him from Georgia Military Community College. He's had a great offseason. You know, Bryson Spies is back for his sixth year and has played a ton of football for us at guard and tackle. And Tim McKay's a guy that's played well, and we need him to stay healthy. He's had some injury things he's dealt with. So those three guys at tackle we feel really good about, and just going to be how it plays out in fall camp. You know, and then you look at the rest of the O-line. We got Chandler Zavala back, which was great for that young man. Grant Gibson returns. Dylan McMahon returns. Derek Eason returns. We've got a lot of guys that have played for us.
Dave Doran is with us here at ACC Football Kickoff. I wondered how much conversation here would be about football and how much would be about the landscape of college, really college football, more so than college athletics. So in a broad way, what are your thoughts on – it's really been the last 2 years, but what are your thoughts on what's gone on?
You know, every year I come here, there's like this hot topic that has nothing to do with us winning.
Right.
And that's the new one, you know. I think it's a shame, personally, this is just me, that teams are leaving their conferences they've been in forever for the dollar. And the Pac-12 had a good setup, you know. I think losing, and again, this is just my opinion. No one else's. I like the pageantry of college football, you know what I mean? As an athlete that's at a West Coast school that now has to travel to the Midwest and the East Coast all the time, I wonder how that's going to go over for them. You know, that's a lot of travel. It's a lot of time zones. That's going to be hard on them. It's going to be hard on their sleep. It's going to be hard on their coach's sleep, you know, and all that. So, yeah, I hope it's worth it, because to me, it's, I don't think it's good for the student athlete to have to do that. As far as where it's going, I have no idea, and I really am just like everyone else. I'm a spectator watching all this stuff happen, and you know, we'll see where it ends up. I feel great about our league. I mean, our league has a grant of rights that is very hard to change.
Yep.
You know, every year I come here and there's like this hot tie-out in the league. I don't know how many schools would be willing to do that. So I feel pretty protected in the ACC when it comes to the poaching and all those kind of things.
I'm just curious because there's this revenue gap that has been that has existed really for a decade between the SEC and the Big Ten and the ACC. What could you do with an additional $30 million?
Yeah. Well, you know, I think – there's so many things, you know. Can we use that for our roster with NIL? You know, I mean, that would be one thing I would wonder because that would be
as
a great,
of right now, probably not.
You can't, but why not? You know, why can some general businessman do that in the school that they're at? Why can't we do that? Or why can't that come from the television network itself? You know, why can't they get an NIL deal for every student athlete with money like that? You know, for current players.
Sure.
The academic centers, the training rooms, the weight rooms, you know, the technology out there. You guys have no idea how many times we want to buy something and can't because of budget limitations, you know, or how we travel or the hotels we stay in. You know, all of it. There's so many improvements that could be made just even at the academic center for us. You know, how can we improve technology so students have better tutors and better rooms to study in, you know? So many things, you know, the dorm set up, like how can you do things that way? And so there's a lot. And then, you know, there's charitable things you could do with money like that to help the communities you're in. So, yeah, I mean, I would love to have that problem.
Summers get shorter.
They do.
You guys start earlier. What was your summer like? I know you went fishing.
Yeah,
I did. You always go fishing.
Yeah, you know, we finished a crazy June. I've never seen recruiting like it has been in June this year. Went to the mountains. One of my sons goes to Appalachian State, and so went to the mountains, spent some time up there with some friends, and then went to Lake Gaston, which is kind of our getaway, and then finished it off with a trip to Montana with two of my sons. Got some fly fishing in North Carolina and in Whitefish, Montana this year. So had a great summer. Too short, like you mentioned. Really wish had a little bit more time with the family, but excited to be back.
Well, good luck. ECU is the first one.
Yeah.
We'll talk to you very soon. Again, it was on video, so you look good.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. Thanks a lot. Go Pack.
You got it.
All right, bud.
Thanks, Coach. Dave Doran was fun to catch up with. I appreciate him wondering if we could use that extra money to directly pay the players. My least favorite thing about Jim Phillips today was the idea that, you know, we need some national guidelines for NIL. I'm like, no, you don't.
Yeah.
You don't. Look, it was always going to be crazy at first because we went from 0 to 100 miles an hour. Right. But so there's going to be an adjustment period. It'll settle. It'll settle down. And if you're worried about these monies being used as recruiting inducements, where have you been?
Yeah.
That's been the case as long as we've had recruiting. I keep using this analogy, and I'm not trying to cast aspersions on any program. John Wooden didn't get a bunch of great players to go from New York City to Westwood because, oh, man, what a great program. There were great programs everywhere. There are recruiting inducements. That's just the truth. So I'm not saying you shouldn't be concerned about it. I'm just saying that it's okay. And the money should be going to the kids anyway. So let's get as much money in their hands as possible. The long term is maybe they stay longer. How would that be good, right?
Over the crossbar and the Hurricane have won the Stanley Cup!
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.